You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, October the 11th. And this is hour two of our Half the Time Pledge Drive. And I am so happy to report that we have exceeded our goal in our first hour. Thank you so much if you have made your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. But if you haven't, you have another opportunity to do so. A third of our budget comes from listener support, listeners like you who pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I am happy to have with us to talk with you about media issues in the news during this hour and to help ask for your support of public radio, Brooke Gladstone. She is the co-host and managing editor of On the Media, which is heard Sundays at 6 in the morning and again at 3 in the afternoon here on the Ideas Network. And she is also the author of The Influencing Machine. And she joins us by telephone. Good morning, Brooke.
Good morning.
It's good to talk to you again. We talked about your book in the spring when it first came out.
Right.
But we thought certainly media issues stay in the news and that you would be the perfect guest to talk with us about media issues. And but for those who have not yet discovered your book, tell us what it's about and why you went with a comic book format.
Okay, this book is basically my manifesto history of two millennia of media since the invention of the written word through the year 2045. It's a little bit speculative, but not that speculative. And basically what it talks about is how we got to where we are now, how we've been here before, how there's no reason to panic. The Republic survives, and what we can do to make the information environment better and richer in terms of how we consume it and how we produce it.
Yeah. Well, just give us a quick tip. How can we better consume it?
Well, I think a big argument in the book, I cite a lot of studies and demonstrate how we are incredibly resistant to information that does not accord with our worldview. There are many, many ways in which we argue ourselves out of facts, deny things, and so forth. What one needs to do is occasionally move outside of one's comfort zone in the media consumption realm and consume some media. I don't mean blatantly irresponsible media, but I mean media that doesn't come with the same political orientation that you have and see what they have to say.
Mm-hmm. And what we try to do on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio is to cover issues in the news with guests from many different perspectives. And I have to admit, we will hear from listeners on all sides of the political aisle who will say, I can't believe you had that guest on. But that's we are not here just presenting one point of view. That is what we do here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And for the most part, even though listeners don't agree with every listener or every guest on every topic, they do come through during pledge drives like this one to support the programming, because you will hear viewpoints that you don't hear everywhere else. And if that's worth a pledge of support, I hope you will make it now, as we have a goal of 80 pledges. 80 pledges during this hour, during this Half the Time pledge drive. We have cut our pledge drive in half. It's usually 12 days, but this time around, it is only 6. We still have to raise all the money it takes to support your favorite program, so please do give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And Brooke, I'm happy that we are able to offer as a thank you gift during this hour for a pledge of $150 to Wisconsin Public Radio, your book, The Influencing Machine. So
yay.
That will you'll be able to read about some of the history and future of the media here in by Brooke Gladstone, co-host of On the Media. And I also think that a pledge during this hour also is a casting a vote in support of On the Media itself. For those who aren't familiar with that show, Brooke, tell us a little bit about what you try to do on the media.
Well, On the Media is different from other shows that purport to. Actually, there isn't another show that actually focuses on public radio about the media for a full hour. Also, there isn't a program on public radio nationally that is fully devoted to essentially criticism and analysis. As a result, Bob Garfield and I find that what we need to do is disclose where we stand on issues, frequently where we begin, in order to give the listener an idea of who we are. Just like if you follow a particular movie reviewer, say, and you know that they'd never get the films of Woody Allen or something. They just don't get them. Well, then you know that that person may not be reliable on Woody Allen, but is reliable on other things. You know that Bob and I have a bias when it comes to transparency and freedom of information and First Amendment issues. And we usually state them at the beginning of the interviews when these things are, being curtailed or, in our view, threatened by certain kinds of government action. We'll say, okay, here's where we stand. Here's the person who can defend this action, and then you can decide for yourself. We figure disclosure is the new objectivity, and we never edit to win the argument. So we hope at the end people walk away with a real understanding of what's going on under the surface of things, how news is made, how information is furthered or threatened, new ways we communicate with each other or don't communicate with each other, and it expands all across the map from the way that we think all the way to the latest technical gadget. We've done quite well. We've finally broke 1 million people this year. Thank you, Wisconsin. But all of this is not possible anywhere but on public radio.
And it's not possible without listener support. As I mentioned, more than a third of our budget comes from listener support. So your pledge, every pledge, is very important. And it's really important during this half the time pledge drive. We cut our pledge drive in half, but we still need to raise the amount of money that we need to pay for the programming that you enjoy. So that means we need to hear from 76 more listeners during this hour. 4 pledges so far toward our 80 pledge goal. So thanks to the 4 of you who have made your pledge. Now it's your turn. Please do support the programs that you hear every day here on the Joy Cardine Show. You hear issues in the news. We do talk about the media as well on this program. You may listen to On the Media on the weekend. We have the co-host of On the Media with us this hour, Brooke Gladstone. She is also the author of The Influencing Machine, talking about the influence of media. And we welcome your pledge at 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552, or pledge online at WPR.org. And for a pledge of $150, and you can break that up into monthly installments if you would like, we would be happy to send you the thank you gift for this hour, which is Brooke's book, The Influencing Machine.
And Joy, should I just want to say that it's the first time you've done twice the money in half the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've done this a bit in New York, and listeners really respond, because listeners to public radio are committed to public radio, and they want to hear more programming. It's not that we aren't fascinating talking about why you guys out there should send us money, but the fact is, this is unique, and in a time when business models are broken for media, there really aren't other options. That's one reason why, among all media, public radio continues to grow while all other kinds of media shrink. And part of this, part of the reason why it's so attractive, part of the reason why it's so good, is because the funding is diverse. If it only depended on foundations, if it only depended on corporations or the relatively small slice that comes from the government, the programming wouldn't be as free. It would be more influenceable. I'm sorry.
No, that's right.
The part that comes from the listener is the part that ensures independence.
Let me let Brooke get a glass of water or a sip of water as I remind you that we count on you, and we are working toward a goal of 80 pledges during this hour of our Half the Time pledge drive. You can make your pledge at 888-202-2552, or pledge online at WPR.org. And we will talk with Brooke about some media issues in the news, like the coverage of the Occupy Wall Street protests or the Occupy movement, which is now moving to other cities. It's not just in Wall Street, but in fact is moving to Wisconsin as well. We'll talk a little bit about the media coverage of that. Talk some about the media coverage of the presidential race. Are we seeing too much horse race coverage in the GOP primary? And maybe you have some thoughts and questions about media issues in the news. We can see what Brooke has to say about them. Here's a different number for you if you would like to join in on the air. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And, Brooke, are you okay now?
I think I'm all recovered. Thank you, Joy.
Sure. No, that's fine. And you were talking about how public radio audiences are growing, and we are seeing that here in Wisconsin as well. Our listening is up and up substantially.
It's a national trend, and part of the reason is because other thorough, responsible sources are experiencing such cutbacks. And why is public radio managing to thrive? It's because there is a direct connection between the listeners and the creators of this information or the reporters of this information. That direct connection doesn't just foster a sense of loyalty, it is loyalty. Wisconsin Public Radio has to respond to what's interesting and important in the community.
And we do try to do that. We have had a lot of coverage of state issues in the state of Wisconsin with all of the protests that occurred over our...
What a year you've had.
Yeah, it has been a very tumultuous year in Wisconsin with all of the protests and the debate and... frankly, the polarization. There's been the state is divided quite a bit politically, but we also have heard from listeners who appreciated hearing from all different sides on this program. Mm-hmm. And if you appreciated hearing from all different sides on this program, call 888-202-2552 and make your pledge of support. Pledge any amount. It really is completely up to you how much to donate to Wisconsin Public Radio. We know that not everyone might be in a financial situation to donate, but if you are, your pledge means even more. 888-202-2552, because your pledge can help pay for public radio for someone else. WPR.org is where you pledge online. And remember, for a pledge of $150, we will send you the book by Brooke Gladstone, The Influencing Machine. 888-202-2552 or pledge online at WPR.org. And Brooke, again, though, what you mean by the influencing machine, the media, do you think that the media changes many minds? Are media outlets all that influencing?
You know, this is what's realized, and some people tried to talk me out of this title because I meant it actually, ironically. The influencing machine is the notion that I battle against in this book, kind of like David Halberstam named his book about the people who got us into Vietnam, the best and the brightest, in a sort of ironic way. I don't believe that it is an influencing machine. I believe that the media essentially is a mirror, or a bunch of mirrors, a bunch of cracked, fogged, funhouse, poorly calibrated mirrors, and that we participate increasingly all the time in creating the media that we have. We do it principally by what we consume, by what we care about, by what we respond to, by what we email and comment on, by what products we buy. I also know that we are able to influence it absolutely directly now. Anybody with a smartphone or even not so smart a phone can participate in the production of media. There's a lot we wouldn't know about the Arab Spring without ordinary people wandering through, and this is a trend that's been going on for a long time. The media basically reflects everything we are as a people, and some of what we are, we really can't stand, and some of it we thoroughly recognize. And so what we want to do is continue to participate in creating a media which does influence, but it isn't a nefarious machine operated by evildoers, just ordinary people who essentially, in most realms of the media, want to make money. They are motivated by profit. That's the way our system works. Weirdly, public radio is not, and that's one reason why it is able to not have to direct its message to particular audiences, especially audiences with lots of money. Although, obviously, at times like this, its audiences with its listeners with any spare change in their pocket at all on a daily basis, who's willing to kick in, that makes this whole crazy experiment work.
And I'm wondering, Brooke, your thoughts on the media coverage so far of the Occupy Wall Street movement, which is actually moving to different cities and is entering Wisconsin as well. Has it been fair?
Well, you know, whenever people take to the street, there is a certain amount of skepticism, and it's a lot of skepticism, and it's very hard to break through. I have to say that in the early parts of the movement, well, it's not yet a movement. It's still a protest. It's on the verge, perhaps, but it isn't a Tea Party-type movement yet. But when it began, there was a lot of complaining of a news breakout, a media blackout of the Occupy Wall Street demonstrations in New York City. And I went to the Pew Research Center and asked them to do basically a week-by-week comparison. And they found that actually the coverage of Occupy Wall Street was a lot better, at least in terms of actual column inches and time on the air, than the coverage of the Tea Party in its early weeks were. Mm-hmm. So the charge of news blackout just wasn't true. Now, the nature of that coverage, a lot of which was disparaging and dismissive, was also not unlike the early coverage of the Tea Party, actually. Obviously, the messages are very different in terms of how to fix what's wrong with America, but the sense of what's wrong seems to be similar. I mean, not the causes. I mean, the Tea Party blames the government. Both sides blame the government, but for different reasons. And you know, I think that the coverage is evolving as the protest itself spreads, as the message becomes more refined, as it begins to approach a movement, the coverage will become will change along with it. So I'm not saying there wasn't a lot of reflexive negativity, especially among some correspondents on cable. But I think that it's moving along with the actual movement itself. So the coverage has been and usually what you'll find across all media on almost all topics is a range of coverage from perfectly awful to absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
We just have tons more media than we ever had before.
Just curious, Brooke, before we go to the phones, and we do have some callers who want to talk to you about this, when does Occupy Wall Street, a protest, become a movement?
I spent a lot of time with Michael Kazin, who's written a book on this subject. He's a historian and a teacher of history, about when a protest becomes a movement. And his feeling is that it becomes a movement when a leadership emerges, when there are specific alliances made with institutions or centers of power, and when there is a clear list of goals. Those things are still evolving. They aren't there yet, But he said that, you know, when you need a network, a structural organizational network, you need a power, you need alliances with powerful groups. Their unions have come in, but you need to ally with more than just that. And you need a clear message. That was his view.
Let's go to Kelly in River Falls for our first caller. Hello, Kelly.
Yeah, I would kind of take a different opinion on this subject. I think the media coverage has not been very good. I noticed NPR didn't announce this was even happening till 9 days into it. So it seems like they missed the boat. But, I think as far as, we talked about it being a movement, I learned that it's present in every continent in this planet, with the exception of Antarctica. And it has over 1,000 different sites, so it seems like a movement to me.
I did look at that chart that the Occupy Wall Street had, and there are people who register, you're right, all over the place, but some of those sites really involve a single person or two people. So, you know, there may be in far-off cities people who identify with Occupy Wall Street, but it's still very much in the process of formation because we're talking about one or two lonely self-proclaimed Occupy Wall Streeters in remote cities all across the country, and that really pumps up the number of sites. Not to say that it isn't growing.
Yeah, and I don't know how many days it took NPR to report about Occupy Wall Street, but I know one of the complaints was that media coverage didn't happen until there were tussles between the police and the protesters one weekend. Otherwise, we didn't know it was happening.
Yes, I kept raising that. I raised that with people down at Occupy Wall Street. I raised it with Michael Kazin as well, because my feeling was it was this clash on the bridge and so forth that brought the media in. And they say that that's really not enough, that those clashes may have attracted some people, but it is not what's kept them there since then. So it may have been a trigger, but just a single one.
We are talking with Brooke Gladstone. She is co-host of NPR's On the Media, heard Sundays at 6 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon here on the Ideas Network. She is also author of The Influencing Machine, and we are talking about the influence of media. We are talking about media bias. We're talking about issues about the media in the news, and we are welcoming your questions and thoughts for her. And we are also welcoming your pledges of support to Wisconsin Public Radio. It is critical that we hear from you during this half the time pledge drive. It just started an hour ago, and we need to raise as much money as it takes to support all the programming on Wisconsin Public Radio in half the time. Normally we have a 12-day pledge drive. We have cut it in half. It is only 6 days. We will be done after next Monday. So your pledge now is critically important in order to make this a success and in order to help sustain the programming that you value on Wisconsin Public Radio. So pledge any amount, whatever you can afford, to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. 888-202-2552, and make your pledge or pledge online at WPR.org. Every pledge will help pay the bills at Wisconsin Public Radio. If you are able to pledge $150, or I should say when you decide to pledge $150, to Wisconsin Public Radio, we will send you, if you would like it, Brooke Gladstone's book, The Influencing Machine. Again, this is a unique book in that it is done in a cartoon style. So it's entertaining and informative and fun to read and look at too. So again, we are working toward an 80 pledge goal during this hour. We have 10 pledges so far, so I need to ask you to make that pledge now at 888-202-2552 or pledge online at WPR.org.
Fox News Live! Fox News Live! Fox News Live! Fox News Live! Fox News Live!
So that was Occupy Wall Street protesters shouting Fox News lies to Geraldo Rivera, who was wandering around out in the crowd the other day. And I played that only to bring up the topic of partisan media a little bit more, Brooke Gladstone. People, especially people who are on the left politically, think that Fox News lies. Why is that?
Well, there have been a number of studies that suggest that regular listeners to Fox News tend to be more misinformed about issues or have misimpressions of things than consumers of, say, public radio. That isn't to say that particular programs on Fox News fosters, you know, a real twisted notion of what's really going on out there. For instance, people who listen to O'Reilly tend to be pretty well informed. But people who listen to most of the news programming on there will believe in everything from, you know, death panels to, you know, socialism being right around the corner. It is much more about heat than it is about light.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the problem there is that the whole idea is to have people tuned there all the time to watch the commercials. And so basically it's almost like a classical music channel. Instead of instead of listening to Mozart, you're listening to yelling and screaming.
So if Bill O'Reilly is correct, Fox News has way higher ratings than the other cable news networks. Does that mean that most people agree with the political bent that is shared on Fox News?
Certainly not. For the reason principally is that general listenership for cable news is in the low millions, you know, 4 million, 3 million. I mean, it's look, I wouldn't complain if my audience were that large. But listeners to, say, Morning Edition top something like 30 million. Public radio is far more important to keeping the country, the people that you don't hear about, the people who don't make huge amounts of noise, informed in a broad and fair way. Public radio is far more important, but it doesn't get commercial money. And, you know, as much as I appreciate, and I really do, the idea that you're using this hour to pitch the influencing machine for $150, I know that you know that far more important than the amount of the donation is the idea of participation. Stations like this need full participation at any level in order to do the kind of work that it does without the influence of a particular dominant group of outsiders, whether they be corporations or foundations or the government. Listeners are what keep the programming as independent as it is. And there is no programming as independent as that on public radio. And that really demands numbers. It demands numbers more than it demands individual dollars. It's so important for people just to vote for their public radio station with pledge.
And thank you for that. So your pledge is a vote for independent media. And your pledge of any amount helps us to provide you with independent information. And we welcome your pledge of any amount. And Brooke is right. If you don't have or can't part with the $150 pledge in order to pick up her book, pledge any amount to help sustain this service. Your participation is needed, and it's needed especially during this Half the Time pledge drive, where we need to raise the same amount of pledges as we normally do in the fall in half the time. We are only going to be here for 6 days, not for 12. So every hour is even more important to hear from you. 888-202-2552. 888-202-2552. Or pledge online at WPR.org. We are working toward a goal of 80 pledges during this hour, and we have 60 to go. So We can do it with your help, your pledge of any amount. 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. You'll note I'm not saying how many dollars we need to raise during this particular program, but how many people we need to hear from in order to stay on track. And that is 80 pledges altogether, and we have 20 so far. So,
and here's another thing is that you're doing this experiment in cutting down the time that you plead and beg, or that we plead and beg and harangue our listeners for money. But the fact of the matter is, all of this is to make more programming available throughout the course of the year, and even during the time you might normally spend pledging. Another thing is that, what is this, the second hour of your pledge drive?
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly the time when dozens, hundreds, maybe thousands of people out there are going, oh, I have 6 days, I don't really have to do this now. But think how much better you guys are going to feel if you just do it now in this hour. Then you can feel a sense of superiority to the rest of the listeners who are just waiting to the last minute, just letting it dangle there, and they'll come in at the end. Do it now. Tell them that you really love, tell WPR that you love this experiment of half the length pledge drives, and that you like it enough to weigh in right at the beginning, right as it begins. And this is going to make a big difference to the people who have to lay out the budgets and decide how these pledge drives happen in the future. So just get it out of the way. Do it now. Do it for any amount. I have to say that my book is brilliant. Many people have said so, and it's hilarious. And it's being taught in schools. That said, if you don't want to spend $150, just participate. Participate now and let people know that you like the idea that they are trying this experiment in making the pledge drives shorter.
And you can make that your preferences known by making that pledge of any amount to 888-202-2552 or pledge online at WPR.org. And we will take a call next from Brad in Plover. Hello, Brad.
Hi. Aaron Burnett and Allison Kosick on CNN have been mocking the Occupy Wall Street protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted to mention that Roger Ailes, he tried to start GOP TV back in the 1970s. It failed, but he resurrected the idea with Fox News in the last decade, and it's been successful. Fox News and right-wing radio, they're the ones that I feel set the issues that are covered in the news cycle by all the rest of the media. And I really wish that NPR and all the other new media outlets wouldn't, you know, just mime what Fox News is talking about. You know, they'll talk about socialized medicine, and that talking point will get taken up by NPR, and they'll be using that Fox News lingo and Frank Luntz talking points, and I wish you guys would get away from that.
I take your point. I think you are right in that, given the listener, talk radio is a very, very potent force, and talk radio finds an important signal amplifier in Fox News, and those news outlets really do an incredible job of amplifying yet again one side of the political spectrum's talking points and making them issues for discussion. I know that NPR doesn't use the phrase socialized medicine to refer specifically to, say, the Obama health care plan, the government health care plan, obviously, because it was certainly not what he began with. But they will cite the language of the right in its reports, and the left has done a much poorer job of phrase making. And when they do, I mean, we don't hear from the equivalent of Frank Luntz's on the left. There's George Lakoff, but he is much more of an academic than a political activist. I think part of this Occupy Wall Street movement is an effort to drag the media's attention back to a side that hasn't been heard from much, so that it can begin to have an impact in framing the very issues that you're discussing. It certainly also is true that CNN is among those outlets that have fallen into a kind of skeptical reflex when it comes to Occupy Wall Street, rather than listening to what they have to say. I think that CNN has been roundly slammed for it, and hopefully will correct, at least take what's going down there, going on down there seriously. But you're right; it's done a pretty crappy job, or at least a couple of their reporters have done a pretty crappy job in covering it. They brought far more of their own attitude to the story than actually reporting on the story. Beyond that, I think that it's NPR ought not to be following, to the extent that you think it is, the talking points that are being echoed through the right. There is a chicken and the egg thing here, though. If it is an issue, especially if it plays out in votes on Capitol Hill, then it is a reality that you need to discuss. You can't simply black out that information. That wouldn't be doing a service to the listeners either. So it's an interesting judgment call.
Apparently, and I missed this, Brad was saying that someone in particular was mocking...
Yeah, I think she's a new CNN correspondent, right, Brad? Or is Brad gone?
Are you there, Brad?
Yeah.
Who was it that you said?
Well, she's got a new show.
Who's she? I missed this.
Her name is Erin Burnett.
Okay.
She does the new 6 p.m. time slot on CNN. She used to work for Goldman Sachs and Citibank, and she's mm-hmm. married to a Citibank executive.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying that these protesters should be grateful to Wall Street, and was mocking them on her Seriously segment. She's like, get real, you guys. Get serious, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
no, that's too easy. It's too easy. It's irresponsible. It's, you know, I think CNN has really... been floundering lately, and what CNN has tried to do, actually what all cable news has tried to do is follow the Fox News model, but it's, and maybe, I mean, this show, I don't, I mean, I didn't see it, I can't talk about it, Brad, the way that you did, because I haven't watched more than a few minutes of it. I've read the criticisms of it, so I feel like I'm not qualified to pass judgment, but from, you know, you can describe it better than I can.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Brad, for the call. And when you say that CNN and, well, MSNBC and maybe others are following the Fox News model, what do you mean?
Well, CNN, when it was launched, said we will have no stars. The stars are the news. The stars are the information. And they had people based all over the place, and they didn't have a lot of just talk shows like the one that Brad just described.
Mm-hmm.
There was actual efforts to fill that time with information. The Fox model, which focuses on hot personalities and essentially... Echoing a political perspective rather than information, just a political point of view, basically emotion-based indignation as a kind of score for the entire network, has, you know, MSNBC picked it up and tried to work the left that way. The left and the right function a little differently in this country. The right tends to be more disciplined. The left tends to be more like herding cats. This is something that I discussed on the show a little bit this week. I don't know if it made it through the edit, but there have been so many issues that the left have been focused on, individual rights for racial equality, gender equality, and so on, immigrants, all these issues that didn't divide the right left but kept them from uniting in a single voice, is part of what's playing out, at least in the early days of Occupy Wall Street. But the message is one of economic inequality. That's the message that's beginning to emerge. And I think it'll get refined as time goes on, but it'll get refined in the way that things happen on the left. It'll slowly coalesce. There's not a lot of discipline. People don't fall in line in the same way.
We are talking with Brooke Gladstone. She is host and co-host and managing editor of On the Media, NPR's On the Media. She is also the author of The Influencing Machine, and we're welcoming your questions for her and your thoughts about various media issues in the news, especially the media coverage of Occupy Wall Street. 1-800-642-1234 is the number you can call, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And a reminder that we have about 15 minutes to go, less than 15 minutes to go in this hour. Our goal is 80 pledges, and we have 49 to go.
Come on, guys. Don't say you're going to do it later. Stop telling yourself that. Do it now. Show WPR you like this half the size pledge drive. And show them right now. Stop having a debate with yourself. If you're listening during a pledge drive, then you are a lifer. So just get it out of the way. You're listening during a pledge drive. You cannot live comfortably without this programming. This is a programming that relies on listener participation. Stop kidding yourself. Just pick up the phone, go to the computer, make the pledge, get it out of the way, and accept that the truth for you, a lifer, is that you need Wisconsin Public Radio, because Wisconsin Public Radio certainly needs you.
We do indeed need you to pay for this service. A third of our budget comes from listener contributions that many of which come in during pledge drives like this one. We are reaching out to you to donate, to chip in. We're passing the hat, asking you to help pay for this service and to help keep Wisconsin Public Radio an independent voice. WPR.org. WPR.org is where you can pledge online or call 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552, and make your pledge of any amount. It doesn't matter how much the pledge is. It just matters that you make the pledge. But if you would like to make a pledge of $150, we have a special thank you gift for you. It's Brooke's book, The Influencing Machine, talking about the influence of media. And we welcome again that pledge for $150. A lot of people do monthly installments, and you can do the $12.50 a month and become a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. You can set up ongoing monthly installments on your credit or debit card, or even better, right from your bank account, and it saves time and paper, and you won't forget about it. And it's a wonderful way to support a service that you value.
What is $12.50 a month, like 30 cents a day or something like
it
that?
It could be. You're better at it, but I know that that's the $150 pledge. So.
And the thing is that, you know, especially, we all know what's been going on in Wisconsin this year. There are a lot of people who have really, really been hit incredibly hard. And if you can spend 30 cents a day, not just to do your part and participate in the community that is around Wisconsin Public Radio, you can also help somebody else who really can't afford 30 cents a day right now. I mean, you can do that for the people that you support, the people who have been out there struggling for work, the people who have been out there struggling for a voice. This has to do with people who want to know about what's going on in their community, in their country, in their world. NPR continues, not just NPR, but all of public radio's national sources of information continue to expand all around the world. There is a real sense of what happens in Africa, what happens in the Middle East, what happens in Asia affects you too. Where are you going to hear that stuff when the local sources of information continue to be cut down? Also, there was a very fascinating FCC study that found that where some of news was hardest hit across the board was in local coverage. local coverage is something that your public radio station provides. So a sense of both real community, nearby community, global community, and helping the people who cannot at this point spend 30 cents a day. This is all something that should go into your reasoning now in the last 8 minutes before this segment ends, and help WPR reach its goal of 80 pledges. 80. There are thousands of you listening right now. Come on.
You can do it. Make that pledge of any amount at 888-202-2552 or pledge online at WPR.org. We have about 8 minutes to go. Let's end with a bang. And Brooke, that often happens, even though we are doing this half the time pledge drive and reminding listeners all hour long that procrastination doesn't work so much. It happens anyway, so people are going to wait until the end of the hour.
But it's not somebody else's. It's not somebody else's responsibility. It's our responsibility as citizens of this community who care about public radio. So even if, you think, well, there are so many people out there, they don't need me, 30 cents a day, you can handle it.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned the year that Wisconsin went through, and it's going to be continuing. Brooke, just last night on the Ed Schultz show on MSNBC, we can talk a little bit about maybe the partisan nature of our media. It was announced that the recall effort against our Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker will proceed, and the starting date will be, I guess, to start collecting officially the signatures is November the 15th. I wonder if you have some thoughts on, I guess, where this announcement was made.
It was made on Ed Schultz's show.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first place where it appeared?
Well, there is a news conference today, if I'm not mistaken, here in Wisconsin. But there was an interview on Ed Schultz where it was mentioned as well.
Well, obviously, Ed Schultz has good contacts in that community, because it's clearly, he got the information ahead of other people, although we don't know if he was the first, right? You'd have to do some sort of a search to figure that out. What do I think about the Ed Schultz partisan media aspect of this?
Yeah.
Well, MSNBC, people like Ed Schultz have tried to be the signal amplifier on the left. And if you go back to the 19th century or even before, but in the 18th century in America, almost all media outlets were owned by the political parties. All the newspapers were owned by political parties. And it really wasn't until the creation of, steam-driven presses and the dropping of the price to a penny that they stopped being subsidized by the presses and became something that was sold through advertising and street sales. Advertising actually made up for the money that used to come from the political parties. But advertising itself imposes a certain kind of influence. It was much more independent than a political party ownership was. And then you have a public radio situation where listeners pay for 30% of the product here in Wisconsin, and everybody else has a smaller slice of that pie. You have the most independent press. But you've got, hearkening back to in Ed Schultz and Bill O'Reilly, is that old political kind of partisan media. You could still learn things from it, but the audiences in those days were incredibly cynical. They could take all this information with a gargantuan grain of salt. Nowadays, we are used to trusting media in a way that maybe we never should have, but it is, we've come to believe what we hear and what we read in a way that we probably should not, because the nature of the way news is being provided is changing. And you have to exercise a great deal more judgment in what you consume. This is a caveat emptor world. Buyer beware. You're here. All of the listeners are here because they're very well aware of what they're getting on the station. They're buying this with their time. you know?
And you become a better media consumer by listening to programs like On the Media and to Wisconsin Public Radio in general. And you will become an even better media consumer if you pledge $150 during this hour, just a few more minutes to go. And we would be happy to send you Brooke Gladstone's book, The Influencing Machine. Make that pledge of any amount, $150 if you would like the book, but as we've been saying, any pledge is needed and appreciated. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 25 pledges to go. And Brooke, that can be done because the pledges can come through the news as well. If you make your pledge at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org, it's a vote for the programming that you value on Wisconsin Public Radio. And Brooke, it's a vote for independent media.
Stake a claim on this station. Do it now. Do it when you have a chance. Just do it. It's early. You can get it out of the way, and you can listen to the extra short pledge drive that they're trying this time, knowing that you have participated in this experiment. You don't need to argue with yourself about it. If you're listening to pledge programming, then you are a listener.
Here, this is great, Brooke. Carol, a listener, made a pledge this morning from New Delhi, India.
Wow. Thank you.
She says it's so wonderful to have all of the programs she hears on Wisconsin Public Radio and so much more while she is so far away from Wisconsin. It is definitely a changing media landscape, isn't it?
Absolutely. You're speaking to the whole world, and you're supporting smart, the smart production, the fair production of information, information that respects the listener. NPR respects the listener. They're not pandering to the listener. They're not trying to get the listener on side the way that politically inflected programming is. This is about telling you stuff that is useful, that helps you understand your place in the world and your place in the community. And it's rarer and rarer. That's why you're listening right now, and that's why you're putting up with this harangue.
20 pledges to go, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. In less than a minute, I wonder if you can give us your assessment, Brooke, of there is a new CEO for NPR who wants to depoliticize NPR. It's been a political football lately. Do you think that's possible?
No, and I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. I don't know him personally. He wasn't making himself available to us yet. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that the politicization of NPR is happening outside of NPR. Mm-hmm. He can't control the people who condemn it at Fox News Channel. You know, we did a study of NPR's whether or not NPR was biased. We used Pew. We talked to a lot of the critics of NPR. And as I lay out in the book, The Influencing Machine, a lot of these biases that people perceive are sort of built into being human, and they're built into how mm-hmm. we perceive as much as they're built into the coverage, and that, in fact, NPR was incredibly centrist, second only to the news channel. It's incredibly centrist, more so than the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, even the Washington Post,
Brooke,
the Wall Street Journal, if you minus the
Brooke,
editorial
thank
page.
Thank you very, very much for being with us. This is the Ideas Network.